Inside your bulletin is today's outline, so let's get it as we continue a summer-long study in the book of Proverbs. I hope you've been reading along. It's real easy to just stay with it. Today's the 17th. Read the 17th chapter. Joaquin's doing a great job putting some scriptures for each day's chapter on Facebook. If you're a Facebook person, we'll be sure and plug into that. But the ways to get wisdom, do you remember the three A's? You ask God, you associate with wise people, and you absorb the book of Proverbs. Those are three ways to get more wisdom. So be sure that you're doing that. We've already talked specifically, I love the way Proverbs is just a mishmash of a lot of stuff. But when you go through there, you find that you're gaining a lot of insight into family life, as we've talked about, into sexual purity, as we've talked about, into the battle between pride and humility that we've talked about, the battle between just being wise or versus being a fool. So continue in this. And today, we're talking about relationships. The Toy Story movie is one about relationship hitting kind of a wall initially and having some conflicts, which is often the time, and yet a friendship being forged there to where that song in the background is amazing, encouraging. You've got a friend in me, or I've got a friend in you, however it is. It's when it comes to wisdom, it's like, where do we need it the most? And boy, that's a tough question. It could be, is what are you dealing with? What's the hardest thing you're dealing with? But I know one thing is, we can't live in this life without relationships. And so sometimes there's very close friends that we have. Sometimes there's other people. But if you are in a family, you have relationships. If you have a job, you have relationships. Wherever you live, you have a neighborhood where you have some relationships. If you're in a sports club, you have relationships. If you have school children, you have relationships with the teachers, school officials, and other parents. And if you're in a church, you have relationships. And even social media, as it says in the paragraph here, you've got all your Facebook friends and all your Twitter followers. And I know some of you have thousands. And I'm doubting that, but nevertheless, you could have, and I don't even know about that. So every day is a challenge with the people that we meet, even complete strangers, to have, as it says in the opening paragraph, to have the right attitude, to be able to say the right words, to speak with wisdom, to help out or to serve where it's needed in the situation. And above all things, in your relationship with other people, even complete strangers, that you demonstrate the person of Jesus Christ in your life. Christ is in your life. That's who you are, as we've sung this morning. And you show God and you show Jesus Christ in oftentimes your relationships with one another. But it's very challenging because people can drive you crazy. Amen? And it's never you. It's those nuts that are around you that cause problems in your life. And so we're going to look at some things from the book of Proverbs. It's not everything it has to do with relationships. But in studying Proverbs, it's like take whatever life has taught you and God's Word has taught you to this point. And then by absorbing Proverbs, we're reading through it three times in the summer, you're absorbing and getting more wisdom. All of us can have more wisdom. You can be wise, you can be wiser, and you can strive to be the wisest in certain areas. You can always have more. It's an element of degree. You can always have more wisdom. And so in three main areas of relationships, here's some wisdom Solomon brings us. First of all, he talks about your relationships with close friends. With your close friends. Put that in the fill-in there. Your relationship with close friends. Now, close friends have, from Proverbs, there's three areas that you will find when you have close friends. One thing is sometimes conflicts arise. Does that surprise you? Even with close friends. All you have to do is look at the home. Your closest friends are your spouse and your children. You ever have conflicts there? No, never. But if you can have conflicts with the people that you love the most and are closest to, then it stands that you're going to probably have some conflicts sometimes with other close friends, both in and out of the church. And so when conflicts arise, here's some random things, because conflicts is the test of a relationship when conflicts arise. So here's some advice, some wisdom that Solomon gives. You can follow along, but I'm going to be reading some of the, I'm going to read each of these to you. And so you might want to just jot down kind of a key thought from each one of these. In Proverbs 11:13, Solomon says, "A gadabout gossip can't be trusted with a secret, but someone of integrity won't violate a confidence." So if you have a close friend, one of the tests of a close friend is you won't violate a confidence. You're able to keep a secret, and you will be a person of wisdom or of integrity to not violate a confidence. In 17:14, he says, "Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before dispute breaks out." Solomon says, in your close relationships, don't get into this argumentative, competitive type stuff. This is good advice in the home. Just drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. You have to choose your battles sometimes. 18:19 says, "An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city." When you offend someone, you're jeopardizing that relationship. And so you have to watch your own heart as well as being judgmental of them, not to offend. 19:11 says, "A man's wisdom." And now again, here when you pursue wisdom, the Bible says a man's wisdom gives him patience. It's to his glory to overlook an offense. The Message Bible says, "Smart people know how to hold their tongue. Their grandeur is to forgive and forget." So what's the wisdom here? Tone down the rhetoric. Calm the situation. Don't have relationships that are built around conflicts. Be quick to forgive and forget. 20:19 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much." The Message Bible says, "Gossips can't keep secrets, so never confide in blabbermouths." So you have to be careful with your close friends. You know, you feel like you've got a close friend that you can confide in, and they have a little bit of the jabberjaws type stuff going on, and pretty soon it's being passed on to other people. So you have to be careful, because the Bible says avoid a person who talks too much. And then 28:11 says, "To show partiality is not good." The Message Bible says playing favorites is always a bad thing. And this is kind of one that's a tough thing, because if you have a close friend, in a sense, your close friends are some of your favorites. But I think what he's saying is that shouldn't be your heart. You should still love all people. I was told years ago as a young minister, and given this advice, that ministers should never have close or best friends. And that hit me kind of cold. But the idea was, if you're going to minister to a church, you have to be the same to all people. You can't be showing favoritism. But I look at Jesus, and he had his inner circle of Peter, James, and John. And I think that's not good advice. You know, there's advice out there that's good, and some that's not. Because all of us need a close friend. All of us need someone to lean on. But the idea is, don't show favors, just like with Joseph's father in the coat of many colors, and he was obviously the favorite. It caused some problems in there. So there's certain people you're going to be closer to, but love all people and don't show partiality in that regard. So conflicts come, and these are some of the things that test the conflict. But also friendships are there for advice when advice is needed. Conflicts is where the relationship is tested. Advice is where the relationship is magnified, the positive end of it. But some of us want friends there just for our own benefit, without wanting something back that helps us to grow. We want it there for our pleasure or for whatever our selfish desires are. So here's some advice that Solomon gives in these verses. 13:10 says, "Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." Another translation says, wise men and wise women listen to each other's counsel. I want you on this point, I'm going to give you three or four words as we work through this to write down. Write down the word counsel. C-O-U-N-S-E-L. Not like a town council, but counsel. C-O-U-N-S-E-L. Write down the word counsel. Because counsel is something that you listen to. It's something that's given to you and you listen to it. Wisdom is listening to counsel. The next verse, 15:12, says, a mocker resents correction. Or as another translation says, know-it-alls don't like being told what to do. And they will not consult the wise. Now write down the word consult. They will not consult the wise. You know, there are times when people want to give you advice. What is that? That's counsel. What does the Bible say? Listen. There are other times when you are the know-it-all and you need to humble yourself and to seek counsel or consult. Counsel is what you receive and listen to. Consulting says, I want to seek some advice. I need some help in this area. So some is given and some is seek. The wise person receives it. The wise person seeks it. You understand? And then 15:31 says, he who listens to a life-giving rebuke. Wow. Write down the word rebuke. You like that word? Some of you like it more than others. But he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. Listen to good advice if you want to live well. 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction. And in the end, you will be wise. So write down this fourth word, accept. Now kind of put those all together. So you have counsel that is given to you. Good friends. They love you. They have your well-being in mind. And so they want to give you counsel. The Bible says, wisdom says, I listen to counsel. But there are times when I don't know what to do, and maybe someone feels like they don't want to butt in or whatever it might be. I need to seek counsel. Before I make some decisions, I need to seek wisdom and seek good counsel. And I need to have the heart that I'll receive not only counsel, but I'll receive a rebuke if it's from a friend. It could be a life-giving change. It could be a life-giving moment. Because it could be keep me from going into some decision or some action that could be horrible for my life. And so a life-giving rebuke is something there that also has to do with wisdom. And then the word accept, have an accepting spirit. Why has God given you close friends? Well, there's a lot of reasons. In fact, the next verse says, Proverbs 27:9, the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. The Message Bible says this one, just as lotions and fragrance give sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. And so God gives us friendships. God gives us relationships, even close friends. And it's refreshing. How could you live in this world without close friends, without friends that you can pour your heart out to, that you can laugh with and talk with and cry with and seek counsel and go places and do things and share experiences? God wants you to have close friends. God wants you to have close friends in the Lord, in the church, so that you can receive the spiritual nourishment, even the spiritual rebuke, so that your life can be corrected. Pleasantness, it has to do with friendship. As we often say in marriage, one advantage of the marriage is that the joys are doubled and the sorrows are halved. And that's what a close friend does. A close friend helps you to rejoice, and a close friend is there when you're down and out. And then these last two scriptures that are on your lesson outline, I want you to circle 27:5-6 and 27:17, because I'm going to read them to you, but I'd like for you to memorize or get the gist of these, because here are two of the most powerful passages in all the Bible that are found in Proverbs that have to do with relationships, seeking advice, and living properly. 27:5-6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Now see, there's something that we need to do a gut check on our friendships. Am I wanting just the love, the validation, and always, yes, yes, you're wonderful, you're perfect, and that's a good decision and all that? Or am I looking for something that's not a hidden love, but it's very open to the point of open rebuke? And then this verse says this: wounds from a friend can be trusted. Wow, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Have you ever been wounded emotionally by the truth? From a friend? From a spouse? The other verse, 27:17, says, as iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen one another. And so here's where the close relationships come in. We're not here just to have the giddy, feel-good, ha-ha, fun type moments. Those are part of it. But God gives us close relationships for our spiritual benefit, for our spiritual growth, someone to pray with, someone to cry with, someone to confess to. You know, when the Bible says confess to one another, it's like, I don't want to go up and confess. You know, I see someone at church, I don't even hardly know their name, and I go up and say, I want to confess my sins to you. Now, that doesn't make sense. But someone that knows you and loves you and that you spend time with and knows your heart and knows your family and knows what you're going through and all of this, it's something easier to be able to confess sins. But wounds from a trusted friend are sometimes good. There was one time in my life, I was probably somewhere around 28, 29, 30 years old. And a great part of my life and my ministry back then was directing summer camps. And I would go and direct two or three sessions of camps each summer. And it was just, it's still to this day one of the most exhilarating opportunities and experiences I've ever had, to be out in nature, to get kids out of the city, and to be there for a week of fellowship and Bible study and ball games and swimming and just all of the thing. It's amazing what you can do with kids 1 week away from TV and phones and their worldly friends and even sometimes their family, and it's just amazing. And so when I would go to camp, I would get wrapped up in this. Man, I was there. I was young enough. I was a kid. I was enjoying it. I was competitive. But I just, it was like camp for me. I never got to go to camp when I was young. And so camp was exciting. I loved it, even though I was the director of the camp and responsible for about 200 kids. And one night, I never will forget it. It's a Friday night. We're going home on Saturday. We've been there since Sunday afternoon. We are tired to the bone. And the last night we have a big worship and big devotional and a big talent night. And so you get to bed about midnight or 1 o'clock. And by the end of the week, you are just exhausted. And I have someone come into my cabin about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and shake me and wake me. And a good friend of mine, who was also the head counselor, he wasn't a part of the church that I went to, but a part of another church, and he and I had done camps together, and he was the head counselor. And he said, Wayne, get up. You and I are going to take a walk, and we're going to have a talk. I did not want to go. I don't care, can it wait till in the morning? No, it's got to happen right now. And this is his name was Dub Irwin. I know you don't think Dub is a good name, but in Oklahoma that was okay. Dub says, Wayne, you and I are going to go have a talk. And I said, what's this about? Well, Carol's been sharing some things with her. Oh my goodness, not tonight. I'll deal with her when I get home. Blah, 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 blah. But Carol would go and be a counselor to the girls and stuff. And so the boys always had their cabins and the girls theirs, and you know, and but we were together a lot. But Carol had told me before that, you know, sometimes when we go to camp, you ignore me. Guys, can you imagine your wife saying something like that? That you just ignore me. You're so wrapped up in all that. Well, I'm the counselor. I'm the director, and I've got to play the sports, and I've got to do this, and I've got to preach the sermons, and I've got to, you know. And it's like, we have time 51 other weeks of the year. Just, you know, and it was a frustrating thing for me, but she was broken about it, poured her heart out to Dub. And Dub gets me out of bed 2 or 3 in the morning. And he rips me up one side and down another. You talk about wounded. At first I was defensive. But then God humbled my heart. And when I see this scripture, I often think about that one incident, because it was a life-giving rebuke. He wasn't mad, he wasn't angry, he was standing in the place of Jesus and telling me that I was not honoring my wife in the way I needed to. Have you ever had moments like that? When someone would come and tell you the truth. You see, Solomon says, that's good. Most of us are resistant to it. But the wounds from a trusted friend can be trusted, as iron sharpens iron. And then also, just the other point on this, friends are there, close friends. We're talking about when you need a rock. You know, when you just need someone. Occasionally, I have a variety of music on my iPhone that I listen to, from 50s rock and roll to some of the later rock and roll. And sometimes I go back to some of the country music. Sometimes I go back even to the 40s or 50s, some of the music that I kind of grew up on. And some of you will know who Hank Williams is. Not Hank Williams Jr., but Hank Williams. And he's an old-time, really nasal crooner. And he has this one song called The Long Gone Lonesome Blues. And boy, it's a tearjerker. But there's one phrase in that he says, every man needs a woman to lean on. Amen? But then he says, but my leaning post has done left and gone. I've got the long gone lonesome blues. But you know, there's a truth there, that every one of us needs someone to lean on. There's just times that we need a rock in our life. And Proverbs 17:7, this is another one that'd be good to circle. Proverbs 27:17 and 17:17 are two good ones. This says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The Message Bible says it this way, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in trouble. And I like to think of that in our church family setting as well. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Message Bible says, friends come and go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. There's a church here locally where their pastors champion the concept of sticky church and sticky teams on leadership and all. And it's kind of like we need some sticky friends. In other words, people that persevere, that don't just come and go. A true friend sticks by you like family. And then Proverbs 27:10 says, don't run home to your family when things get rough. Better a nearby friend than a distant family. And I've been thrilled through the years to see so many times in loving, healthy church families where sometimes the relationship in the Lord became even stronger than the relationship in a family, particularly if the family's not nearby. And so treasure close friends. Treasure close friends. But deal with them in wisdom. When conflicts arise, when you need that advice, when you need that rock to lean on. Now here's the second category of friends that we all have, and this is your relationship with casual acquaintances. Not everyone is a close friend. So there's a lot of people in your life, and probably this is the bigger category. Your neighbors, you might be close friends with some of your neighbors, but they might be more of a casual acquaintance. You see them and hang out with them maybe occasionally, but people you work with, some of them may be good friends at work, but probably more you don't hang out with them, you don't go to church with them, you don't socialize with them. They're the casual acquaintances. And so there's a lot of people, and even in churches, you don't know everyone in the church to where everyone is a close friend, but there's a lot of casual acquaintances. So here's three things on casual acquaintances. First of all, watch your tongue, what you say. 11:12 says, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor. You ever had a bad neighbor? You know, Carol and I have been blessed through the years to have some really good neighbors and some really special neighbors. But for the couple of years we lived up in Escondido not too long ago, we had issues with neighbors on both sides of us. One didn't like our son, grandson Blake, playing his drums in our garage. And so I had to deal with this guy. And I had to kind of put myself in his shoes too. When Blake started playing, we'd leave. And so I had to kind of deal with that. And then the widow lady on the other side of us in our neighbor to the right hated for anyone to park on the street in front of her house. And we were in one of those cul-de-sacs, and our driveway came right here, and the parking over here, some of you were at that house, had mailboxes, you couldn't park there, and the only other one was the one in front of her house. So if anyone came to our house and parked in front of her house, she got really nervous. And so we had to, you know, go the extra mile. But neighbors can be obnoxious. They can be tough to live with. But that's where you have to watch your attitude and watch your tongue. Do not deride your neighbor. 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. So here's the idea. In relationships with casual acquaintances, you know, at work or in the neighborhood, quarrels or controversies or issues can come up. Are you the calming influence? Are you the cool, quiet person that is not quick to rush to judgment, a peacemaker in this regard? Also, 26:18 and 19 says, people who shrug off deliberate deceptions, saying, oh, I didn't mean it, I was only joking, are worse than careless campers who walk away from smoldering campfires. So sometimes with casual acquaintances, you need to be careful about your humor, about the little innuendos, because sometimes even in humor, there's sometimes truth hidden in some of the little remarks that we make, and it can come back to bite you. So watch your tongue. Number two, watch your heart and actions. 22 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Another version says, bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. And so with casual acquaintances, here's what you have to watch. You have to watch their influence on you. The Bible says, do not let your heart envy sinners. 23:17. Always be zealous for the Lord. So you have to look at, is my heart envying these friends, these work people that go play on the beach or go to the sand dunes on Sunday morning? Or am I envious of them because I have a commitment here to the Lord? Or in any number of ways, you have to guard your heart and your actions. And then chapter 24 and 25 talks about not gloating when your enemy falls. And it says, if you see your enemy hungry, go buy him lunch. If he's thirsty, bring him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness, and God will look after you. So in relationships, even with casual acquaintances, we have to be sure that our influence of goodness, of generosity, of peacemaking is more powerful. And that leads us into the third one. Watch your influence. The Bible says in 12:26, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. Casual acquaintances are a good opportunity for you to build a relationship with someone where you can lead them to Christ, but you have to be cautious in that because you don't know how you're dealing with certain people who might be a gossip, who might be a gadabout, who might not have good intentions in mind, or might lead you down a wrong path. So your influence has to be the stronger. 14:21 says, he who despises his neighbor's sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. It's criminal to ignore a neighbor in need. But compassion, what a blessing. And here's one that I highlighted in my notes. You might circle this one, 20 verse 6. It says this, lots of people claim to be loyal and loving, but where on earth can you find that person? And the reason that stood out to me in Proverbs is, I think there's a lot of people out in this world that need a friend. And they've been hurt by their so-called family and friends time and time again. They may have been through two or three divorces. They, you know, and on you go. But a lot of people are asking, where can you find a loyal friend? And here's an opportunity for the wise person to be there, to be that kind of friend that they can find a friend. And in this regard, the harvest fields are wider to harvest for the people out there that need a true friend. 22:11 says, "He who loves a pure heart, whose speech is gracious, will have the king or good leaders for friends." Again, the influence. And then 25:17 is kind of a unique one. "Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you and they'll hate you." The Message Bible says this: when you find a friend, don't outwear your welcome. Show up at all hours and they'll soon get fed up. So just again, some wisdom from Solomon for your casual acquaintances. Be a casual acquaintance and be a light in their life and be able to speak kind things. But watch coming on too strong. Watch getting embroiled in things that aren't your business. Now let's go to number three before we close out. There's also a category of relationships that is your relationship with complete strangers. Every day you meet people that you've never met before. You cross paths with people. Maybe you don't talk to them, but you cross paths with people you've never seen before and probably will never see again. And so I put on the lesson sheet three questions. And here's the three questions. With complete stranger, think about this. Who needs a friend? The Bible says in 18:1, "An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends and defies judgment." So an unfriendly man pursues selfish desires. So what does a friendly man or woman do? They pursue self-denial. Not selfish, but self-denial. And to be friendly to people. In today's age, could be powerful. I saw a motto years ago that I think about every once in a while. And it says, smile at the next three people you meet. So you smile at three people, what the hell are you going to do? Smile at the next three people you meet. But how often are you taken back by someone just in a store or whatever that is friendly? That smiles, that speaks to you. And shouldn't we be the friendliest of all? There are complete strangers out there that need a smile, that need a wave as you walk down the street, whatever that might be. Second question is, who needs help? Proverbs 26:17 is a warning. He says, "Like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own." So here's where you have to be careful. This is where wisdom comes in. Complete strangers, you see a problem. Maybe you see people arguing with someone in a store over the price of something, or arguing among themselves, or not handling their kids right. And when do you step in and when do you not? The Bible says you have to be careful meddling in something that's not your own business. But at the same time, as you grow in wisdom, you'll grow in perception. You'll grow in spirit. You'll grow in attitude to where you'll be able to maybe sometimes bless someone, because there's a lot of people out there that need help. They don't all want it, but they all need it. And so understanding this person needs help, but they may not want it. So you need to understand that and pray for wisdom that God can help you. And then the third question is, who needs an advocate? We're living in a day and age, and even right now, there's so many voices of advocacy going on. And there's a lot of nutty advocates out there, in my opinion. All right. There's some glory hogs. There's some people who want to manipulate, that have agendas. Some have fame or financial motives in mind. But it doesn't discount the fact that some need an advocate. The Bible says this in Proverbs 31:8-9. "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." And I was thinking about this. How do you advocate for something without becoming obnoxious? Or making everything a big social issue that would take to the streets? You know, I was thinking, how did Jesus do it? Jesus advocated for the children by letting them come and touching them and being in His presence. Jesus advocated for women by showing them love and respect. Jesus advocated for racial divides, even as He talked of the Samaritan woman and in other situations. He advocated for those that were caught up in sinful conditions, like the woman caught in adultery. He advocated for the poor. He advocated for the sick. He advocated for those who are ostracized from society, even like the lepers. And he advocated for the common person. Jesus advocated for a lot of people. But Jesus didn't overthrow government. Jesus didn't advocate in a showy fashion. He didn't lead marches in the streets. He didn't use violence. He didn't advocate hate, anger, and division. Jesus was a man of love that changed this world by his heart and his actions. And so as we close, I want you to just listen to these other three verses that are in parentheses there, because there's a great emphasis in Proverbs, and we're going to kind of fit it in here, on helping the poor. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Whoever is kind to the needy honors God." 19:7 says, "A poor man is shunned by all of his relatives. How much more do his friends avoid him? When you're down on your luck, even your family avoids you. Yes, even your best friends wish you'd get lost." But then he says in 19:17, "Mercy to the needy," listen to this, "is a loan to God. And God pays back those loans in full." Be wise, close friends, casual acquaintances, and even complete strangers. And God will pay back in full to those that have shown mercy. Let's bow together. Father God, we thank you for the wisdom that just exudes from the pages of the Bible in the book of Proverbs. God, we need so much of this wisdom, and we need to personalize it and think, how can I live that out? How can I put that into my life? And so, Father, help us this summer just to absorb more and more of this into our soul, and even today's message, to take some of these principles and just think how I can relate to neighbors, to close friends, to complete strangers. And God, just use us, that these are times of growth and not just receiving input, but really letting it be a life changer to us. God, help us to be people that love to receive counsel and live with good advice and surround ourselves with strength. Help us to absorb your word, to ask and pray for wisdom, and associate with wise people. We pray in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen.